some many, many miles to be with us and to serve us this weekend. And we in Connellsville could think of no better servant of the Lord to present the first discourse of this convention. Clarity of thought starts with an understanding of some key definitions. And so Brother Jerry has agreed to provide us with his insights and his research on some key definitions of this topic regarding the presence of our Lord. So, Brother Jerry, technical definitions of key terms. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Wes. We will just briefly bring you the love and greetings from our class in Portland, Oregon, with Ephesians 4:32. As Brother Wes said, this is a technical session of defining some words, seven words, in fact. And if we feel this is important, because no matter how we may interpret Scripture or read the signs of the times, we feel that it is important to at least have a common footing on understanding the meaning of key words in Scriptures. This is we should be reading off the same sheet of music, so to speak, when we read these Greek and Hebrew words. So we're going to move quickly into this. You have some handouts, and we will not be covering every point on this. So some of it is for reference. So we're going to begin with number one, the most common word that I think that Bible students are familiar with, parousia, from Matthew 24, verse 3. From the English Standard Version, he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming," parousia, "and of the closing of the age." Now, Strong says that this has a number of aspects, but he says coming or presence. And he says that this is based on the Greek word 39:18. And basically, Thayer says the same thing, presence, arrival, or advent. But turning to the Greek word 39:18 in Strong's, Thayer says on this, "to be by, be at hand, to have arrived, at, or to be present." Vine's dictionary on the word says presence from para. That means with, and osia, to be, or being, denotes both an arrival and a consequent presence with. For instance, well, we'll pass on some of that. Well, Paul speaks of his parousia in Philippians 2:12. In contrast to his apousia, his absence. Parousia is used to describe the presence of Christ with his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration in 2 Peter 1:16. When used of the return of Christ, it signifies not merely his momentary coming for his saints, but his presence with them from that moment until his revelation and manifestation to the world. In some passages, the word gives prominence to the beginning of that period, the course of the period being implied. Now, the translator Rotherham has a very interesting note in his New Testament. He says, "In this edition, the word parousia is uniformly rendered presence, coming as a representation of this word being set aside. The original term occurs 24 times in the New Testament. The sense of presence is so plainly shown by the contrast with absence implied in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10, and expressed in Philippians 2:12, that the question naturally arises, why not always so render it? The more so in so much as there is in 2 Peter 1:16 also a peculiar fitness in our English word presence. This passage relates to our Lord's transformation on the Mount. The wonderful manifestation there made was a display and sample of presence rather than of coming. The Lord was already there." Word number two, erkomai, Matthew 24:46. "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes," erkomai. Vine's dictionary has the thought of denoting either to come or to go. It signifies the act, in contrast with hekko, which stresses the arrival. Thayer gives the thought of persons to come from one place to another, to appear, make one's appearance. You have a quote there on the handout from Brother Russell on the fifth volume, page 297, which we won't read. But basically, we have here that when he comes, we think is a good translation for Matthew 24:46 and the other references. In Revelation 16:15, we have this word, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that washeth and keepeth his garments." So, when he comes, erkomai. Word number three, apostello, to send, Acts 3, verse 20. It is found in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, when the Logos is sent, or in Mark 6, verse 7, when the disciples are sent. We read in Acts 3:20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you." You will recognize this as a base word of the word apostle, apostello, and it is so. Strong says it simply means to send out, and Thayer says to go to a place appointed. In Acts 3:20, here we have Jesus sent at the time appointed for the times of refreshing, his second advent, to accomplish his mission of bridegroom, prophet, priest, and king. In 1 John 4, 9 and 10, here the place of sending is noted as into the world, that we might live through him. In Mark 6, verse 7, "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send apostello them forth two by two." And in Luke 10, 1 and 2, it is referred to the sending out of the 70 also, two by two. Notice here both the connection of place and purpose. This connection is explicit in Luke 4, 43 and 44. "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent to the cities. And he preached in the synagogues." So the being sent usually has a connection with its place to where one is sent. So this is the sense of Acts 3, verse 20, that the heavens, the place, retains him until the times for restitution, when he is sent to the place of earth and to those whom he restores. And now we will go to the fourth word we will consider, prosopon, in Acts 3, verse 19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence," here the word is prosopon, "of the Lord." Strong says this is based on the word 43:14 as being the forward view, that is the countenance, the aspect, the appearance, the face of a person. And this is confirmed in Thayer's definition also, being the face, the countenance, the look. Arndt and Gingrich says the face. The basic sense of prosopon, he says, is face or countenance. Prosopon is used in Mark 1, verse 2. "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, prosopon, which shall prepare the way before thee." And in Hebrews 9, verse 24, For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence, prosopon, of God for us. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, prosopon. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I am known. This has led to the thinking in some circles that Christ, as a divine being, does not need to come to earth to accomplish any matter, but that in Acts 3:19, it probably indicates that God's turning his face or countenance presence towards earth affairs is a metaphorical expression as sending Jesus. We do not concur with this, and we do not think that the meaning of the Greek confirms this in the text. Because, please notice, it is God's presence or countenance that sends Jesus. As noted in the word send, it indicates both a change of position and purpose or mission. Furthermore, this was preached unto you. John 14, verse 3. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where, place, I am, there ye may be also. And John 14, verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. So, as Jehovah had hid his face from fallen humanity for 6,000 years, so now he turns his face again towards mankind by sending his Son to return and restore them. We will continue with the fifth word, hecho, as found in 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is Strong's number 2240. It is a primary verb meaning to arrive, that is, be present. It is somewhat different than parousia, representing the whole period of abiding after arrival. But here, this word focuses particularly on the event or moment of arrival. Thayer says to come, to have arrived, and of course be present. Arnton Gingrich confirms the same, and he says, often with the mention of a starting point, the moment of return or arrival. It is found in John 4:47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, come out of Judea is this thought of hecho, to come, and into another place, arrive at Galilee. Romans 11, verse 26. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Here, this word of hecho, to come, to arrive at a particular place, out of Zion, to deliver his people. So, in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, it tells us the Lord will come, arrive from one place to another, and that will be stealthily as a thief. We will continue now with the sixth word. Eserkomai. In Matthew 12:29. Or else, how can one enter Eserkomai into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? And the same parallel text is found in Mark 3:20. 27, no man can enter, ezekormai, into a strong man's house. Strong says this comes from a base word of 1519. He says it is a primary preposition, meaning to or into, indicating the point reached or entered. And the Greek word 2064, to come or to go. And this is often the case with some of these words. It can mean either one direction or the other, coming or going. To enter, arise, come, enter into, or go in. And Vine's dictionary says it means to come into. It is frequently rendered in many texts, as you have on your handout in Matthew and Luke and in Acts. You will recognize this as an extended form of the word erkomai, which we have just discussed, namely coming in to enter. The importance of this word in the Matthew and Mark accounts is that the entering into Satan's house is into his domain, into his territory. We know Satan is the prince of this world in John and the 12th and 14th and 16th chapters. But particularly, this domain was not allowed to spread infection elsewhere in the universe. It is this place that has been his domain. As he and the fallen angels were restrained and confined to this earth and to this society, 2 Peter 2, verse 4, and Jude 6, till judgment from Christ who returns to enter into this same house to displace the former administration and administrators. Matthew 24, 43 to 44. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, Esarkomai, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think the Son of Man cometh. So here it is entering into a particular place. Satan's domain, this earth and its environs, both socially and physically. And now we come to the seventh and last word we will consider, and it is a Hebrew word. It's found in Psalms 2, verse 8. I don't know if I'm pronouncing these right, but it seems to me that it is Achuza. In Psalms 2, verse 8 reads, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Achuza. Why are we looking at this word achuza, possession? Strong's number 272 says it means something that is seized, that is possession, especially of land. Briggs, Driver, and Brown, in their Hebrew definition, says it means possession of property and of land. And he continues that this means possession by right of inheritance in a promise to the Davidic line as a portion of the Levitical priests. We read the text in Psalms 2, from verse 8, from the Tanakh. Ask it of me, and I will make the nations your domain. Achuza, possession, your estate, the limits of the earth. So the text itself defines achuza, the domain that belongs to the possessor. The peoples are his inheritance, inherited as an estate heritage. And the earth, that is the field, the country, the land, and even the peoples, is for a possession. This word, achuzah, Hebrew 2:72, that which is seized and held by rightful authority. So, brethren, without using this exact word, the same thought is found in Psalm 72, verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. The place. And as also the thought is conveyed in Revelation 11, 15, as we read from the English Standard Version. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So, dear brethren, from this technical analysis of the words, we hope to at least establish a framework, a foundation, by which we can further consider in this convention the aspects of our Lord's return from and to where, and for what reason, and why, and how we can watch these events. From all these words, the idea could not be more clear than that Christ returns to earth from whence he departed at his first advent to re-enter into earth's affairs, that is, the domain and society, to claim his right for the possession and dominion, and is then present during his restoring and reordering of that dominion. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for laying a wonderful groundwork for our goal this weekend of clarifying and crystallizing our thoughts relative to the presence of our Lord. Thank you again, Brother Jerry, for coming so many miles and for sharing your meditations and your studies with us. Brother Jerry has asked that we close with the use of hymn 30. That's hymn 30. And this hymn will be Brother Jerry's closing hymn. It will also be Brother Laddie's opening hymn. Hymn number 30, and please remain seated for all verses. There is a handout that's coming around during the hymn from Brother Ray and Brother David that is for Brother Laddie's discourse. Hymn 30, please, all verses.